This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
I get a bit jealous when you hang out with the other girls.
I know, but you've always been my favourite.
Oh, there it is. You didn't even have to say that. It's good to be back.
Well, I know. It's been a while because, you know, you've been cavorting with others.
Yeah, I've been cavorting with other audiences.
You have.
I have.
I've been listening, don't you worry.
People are keen to speak to you.
Are they?
Yeah. Margaret
excellent.
And Subiaco is one of them. Margaret,
hello,
you are
Margaret.
First in line. You've been waiting patiently. Margaret, can you hear? No, it's my fault. There we go. There she is.
We've got to turn you on, Margaret. We've turned you on.
Okay. Sometimes my voice is stopped on the phone. Look, I love your program, and I'm so grateful that the podcasts are available when I haven't been able to listen.
Good.
I was thrilled when my sister, who lives in the hills, found a muscat grape with seeds.
Ooh.
Because I think they've got more flavour than the seedless ones that are around.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the grapes sort of appeared and they were tiny and dropped off, so I moved it. Once again, tiny grapes dropped off, so I moved it. Then I took cuttings and the cuttings sprouted beautifully. I haven't seen what the roots are like. But the leaves are tiny, and I'm really sorry. I think you mentioned about stunted grapevine leaves a while back, but I couldn't remember when, so I'm sorry for bothering you
with the same question. That's all right, Margaret. So this muscat grape was grown from a cutting, or was it grown from a seed?
Oh, no, it would have been grown from a cutting.
Okay.
And she bought it at one of the farmer's markets.
Okay. Okay, so there are some, the muscat grape is a very old grape, and I've got a picture of your grape here. It is suffering from powdery mildew. There are viruses and other fungal diseases that can affect grapes. But you've definitely got powdery mildew, and that affects the fruit as well as the leaves. And it's a common problem in muscats. So you will need to spray with your fruit probably won't be much good at all this year. But you will need...
What I've sent is the cuttings I took. The muscat, it doesn't look as though it's got powdery mildew on, but it just didn't produce any grapes.
Any grapes,
so yeah. Cuttings, but, you know, the leaves are all small. So I wondered if maybe the muscat hasn't produced because it's got some sort of virus.
I haven't
seen anything that looks powdery. So I'm just wondering if it's munted and I should pull the whole thing out and...
That's our favourite diagnostic word, Margaret. Because the grapes are very, very small, there is definitely something going on within the entire plant in the cellular structure. So I would suggest that it could be a virus, and it doesn't look healthy as well. It's not very robust. I think you're going to have massive problems with it. So it certainly does look munted, and the coloration in the leaves makes me think it is a virus. So I would be pulling it out, Margaret, rather than persevering. You can actually get muscats. You can buy them. I know you bought that one, but I would get another plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for that, Margaret. Now, Judith is in Narrogin. Hi, Judith. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning, girls. I think I'm joining the munted queue.
I've got pictures of your red flowering gum.
The very last photo is the tree that's next to it.
Yeah.
That shows you how it should look, but I think that's succumbing to whatever's going on as well.
Yeah. So is that red flowering gum grafted?
They were bought from a nursery.
A lot of them aren't grafted. Many of them are seed grown. You buy the grafted ones if you want to be assured that you get the colour that you want. Now, I know it looks a little bit munted, but I reckon there's chance of life there, Judith. So what's your soil type like? Is there any clay in it?
Probably, if any, very little.
Yep. Okay. So, well, that's okay. I would be pouring on a bit of, see if you can get some liquid humic acid that will have enzymes and soil microbes in it. So it'll be a mixture of fish and seaweed solution and humates. And I would be liquid feeding that. So you put, I think it's about 50 mil in a 9-litre watering can, drench the foliage and the soil and do that once a fortnight, and I think you'll find that that will kick it along.
So it's fumic, F-U-M-I-C?
No, humic, H-U-M-I-C, humic acid it's called.
Acid.
And there will be, I'll give you a hint, it'll make your plant go fast.
Okay.
Make it go fast, much better.
Okay, there we go. Judith, good luck with that. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, girls. Thank you, bye-bye.
And Glenys is in Bunbury. Hi, Glenys.
Oh, good morning, Sabrina.
Good morning, Glenys.
Hello, how are you? I want to cover a fence with a creeper, but it gets the hot afternoon sun.
Yep.
It's facing westerly.
Yep.
What would be the best type of creeper that would stand up to that?
I reckon you can't go past Canadia nigricans.
Beg your pardon.
Pardon me for swearing. So that is the black Canadia. It has a black pea flower with a little yellow centre. It's beautiful.
And it does flower, yes.
It flowers all spring and summer.
Okay.
It is so tough. Okay, K-E-N-N-E-D-I-A.
K-E-N-N-E-D-A.
Nigricans, N-I-G-R-I-C-A-N-S.
C-A-N-S, yes, got that, yes.
Yep.
And would I get that at any nursery?
You certainly will.
Okay, what about mandevillas? Would they be strong enough?
No, your mandevilla will sizzle itself to death on a 38-plus degree day. It'll get really badly burnt.
And it does get the really hot afternoon sun.
No.
Okay.
No.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Now, don't forget we have our matchmaking group called Fronds with Benefits.
Mm.
We also have a group called Husbands Who Prune Too Much. And Helen has dropped in her husband. Helen's in Mosman Park. She says, my lovely husband had gone hard on my hedge before the heat wave last week. How to best support it? Now I'm upping the water and thinking, would a seaweed solution, more mulch, be a good idea to get it back?
Ah,
he's done a job.
He's done a job there. Look, it's all burnt and sizzled at the top.
Husbands.
Oh, dearie me.
Off to the doghouse.
Oh, I think so. Do you know, I think they're equally as dangerous with a recip saw.
Yeah.
Because they just cut roots off stuff. They see a root and they go, I might see if the saw will get through that. Okay. Now, the good thing is we've got a week, or at least about a week of nice
cool weather.
Yeah, blessings to it. So rather than a seaweed solution, I would be giving them a liquid fertilizer to encourage new leaf growth. Definitely wetting agent. Water, which is what you're doing. Hose the foliage down before you put the liquid fertilizer on. You want it all over the leaves. And then get the hedging saw, the hedging pruner, and go and hide it under your bed or maybe under the kitchen sink where men never look. So you can't find it again. And it will recover. There's no problem. It will recover.
You know that song, Don't Bring Your Guns to Town?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is like, don't bring your pruning shears to the garden.
Yeah.
And that was the latest edition of Husbands Who Prune Too Much. Let's get Brendan on the line. Hello, Brendan. Brendan's in Albany.
Oh, what's it like down there today, Brendan?
Very pleasant. Very pleasant. The sun's out and there's a light breeze.
Lovely. Glorious.
What's your question for Sab?
I've got a large cut-leaf banksia in the back garden.
Yep.
And it's about 4.5 metres tall. It's not a bush. It's quite spread.
Yep.
And it's well established. In the last couple of weeks, I reckon probably 70 to 80% of it has died off.
Ooh, not a good sign, because that 70 to 80% is going to go to 100%, Brendan.
You reckon?
That's the bad news. Okay. Well, look, I have to tell you, banksias are, some of them are very suicidal, I've discovered, because they just go, no, I don't think so. I'd like to be back to the earth. Once you see them going dry and they lose their colour, they're usually on the way out. So once it gets to 40% just about cactus, they're usually it's a couple of weeks to their final throw to the sun. So I reckon, she's pretty well gone. Now, they are very susceptible to dieback. So Phytophthora, and they also get a fungal disease at the base of the stem that hits the ground, and they also sulk, and they also just are suicidal. So I would go out looking for something else now to put in that spot.
Yeah, all right.
Condolences.
No, sorry, no, Brendan.
Right. I mean, some of the branches on it are still quite green.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, it's just gone downhill so rapidly.
Yeah, no, it's a goner. Yeah. It's a goner.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
There was a few down our creek line just down the road. They've done some revegetation work, and there's some beautiful swamp banksias I've planted there, and they just exploded in growth. And I reckon they're probably about 5 metres tall, and about half of them have died.
It's so sad.
Yeah, well, it's a big tree, and it's sad because I've got a possum nesting box in it, and the possums use it as a bit of a highway to get between trees. So
I have to put another one in, Brendan.
Good luck, Brendan. Yeah, thanks for calling.
All good. Yeah, no worries. Cheers.
Now, off the back of that sad news, Penelope in Barossa Valley has texted in with some good news.
Barossa.
She says, I just wanted to tell you about the live stream on Smelany. Smelany is the name of the corpse flower in the Adelaide Botanic Gardens. Penelope always listens to our show.
Penelope, thank you so much.
You've made my morning.
Yeah, the corpse flower. It's a very interesting species, that one.
Diana near Dongara. Hello, Diana near Dongara.
Good morning, girls.
Morning.
What ails your garden?
Well, my garden's not doing too bad considering the horrible heat we've had. But I want to know about my blueberries. I grow them in pots because up here you certainly couldn't grow them out.
No way.
When is the best time to repot them? Because they need to be repotted and pruned.
Yeah, I wouldn't do any of that now. I'd wait until autumn, beginning of autumn. Yep. So I would wait until April.
Okay.
Mm. You could do it over Easter. Well, to give you a little something to do in the holiday.
That sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Because I'm retired, so I can do my...
You're lucky duck. You're lucky duck.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you very, very much.
Good luck with that. Now, Jenny in Busselton wants to know when she can split her clivias.
Split your clivia? Land sakes. The things we do on this program.
Yes.
Hello.
It's a tough job. No, she's not on the phone. It's just a text. She says, when can I split my clivias? Sorry. Here we go.
I could really run with that, but I won't.
Sue doesn't like it when we run with it. Sue in City Beach, she gets cranky and she tries to get me fired.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Oh, good luck with
bordering on harassment. Yeah, good luck with that. Exactly.
I know he'd be getting in the firing line. It wouldn't be Amber Cunningham, that's for sure. Okay, so now remember they flower in autumn and we're going to have a cool week this week. So split your cliff. I'd be doing it in this cool weather and that way you might get some autumn flowers.
Oh, there you go.
Do it in the shade. Keep them in the shade when you do it because a split cliff will get sunburnt this time of the year when it starts warming up.
Casey's in Albany and she says, husbands are also frustrating when on a bobcat.
Oh.
I have a lovely burgundy buddleia that attracts beautiful butterflies, but it has been run over twice and had to fight back.
Oh, Casey.
We've got to think of a name where we send these men to. Is it like Siberia, men who prune too much? Well, to the support group, isn't it?
Support group or to the gulag.
I'm not sure.
Well, no, you know what they need? They need to be sent to a rehabilitation centre to be put in a room where you have images of gardens on all four walls and they're made to sit through it and just...
And do they have to hand in their reciprocal saw at the door?
At the door, yep. And the hedge pruner and the bloody blower. Men love blowers.
Our friend Sam is on the phone.
Oh, Sam. Well, you wouldn't be part of that because you are not a man who prunes too much.
Well, no, the reason I'm not a man that prunes too much is because I'm calling you up every 30 seconds to see if I can actually prune.
See, you're an intelligent and informed, you like information.
Yeah.
So we love you, Sam.
How are the kids?
Oh, good. Roger's currently running around pulling things out of boxes which shouldn't be pulled out of boxes.
That's all right.
And Cassius is finally asleep.
Did he have a bit of an active night last night, Sam?
He was fine last night. This morning he decided he didn't want a nap. Roger.
Hey, Rogs.
Hello, Rogs. It's your ABC aunties. How are you going, sport?
He's looking very concerned at the phone.
Do you have a gardening question, Rogs?
Yes, Roger would like to know what's happened to our parsley. It's gone to seed. The stems are still green.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of leaves which have died. Do we need to prune it back?
Yes.
Or will it all just come back by itself?
Now, there's two things you can do. You can it won't come back by itself. You need to either prune it, and you've got to take that seed head off, or you let it seed and you will get like 50 parsley plants coming up. So you can either let it go to seed, but then all the rest of the parsley becomes bitter, or you prune it and take that stem, the seed stem out and give it a good haircut and it will come back.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
We'll give that a go.
Got a choice there, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. And where to now? Come on, Eileen. Hello. Oh, I bet Eileen's probably sick of people saying that to her.
Yeah, I bet.
Hi, Eileen.
Hello.
My granny was called Eileen.
Oh, and should she get the song all the time?
No, she died, I think, before you did.
Oh, sorry, I brought that up.
What's going on in Byford with your sturt peas?
Just on that note, I remember some guy saying to me, how did you manage to get an old biddy's name? How rude.
That's so rude. I think it's a very elegant name, Eileen. In fact, I would be calling you Elegant Eileen.
There you go, yeah. And I got the name of a five-year-old. It works both ways.
Now, you got a name. You got the name of a precious stone.
Semi-precious. They're older now, the crop of ambers, but there used to be a time when in places like Kmart I'd hear, Amber! Spin around. Those days are over. Anyway.
My mother is not a bogan.
Eileen, what's going on with your sturt pea?
Well, we bought these two sturt peas when we went to Kalamunda Festival.
Yeah.
And they weren't very big, and she gave us strict instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Fill up the water bottom with water, so that it's like if it's being flooded from the road, and let it completely dry out before you water it again
yes.
on the top.
Yeah.
And we did that.
Yeah.
We did that. But I think in those really hot weather, it got like, a little bit too dry because I've got these beautiful, beautiful flowers, you know, little crowns.
Yeah.
That look almost like ceramic.
Yeah.
And they were two of them, and then at the top, one of them's growing up like a little tree.
Yeah.
And this is the one that's got the flowers on.
Yes.
And then it's got three crowns on top now, and the other one, I've already had two sets of flowers, they're dropping off now, but wow. the three crowns on top.
Yep.
One of them didn't, the one that came out looked a bit pale looking.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether, and the other one, it's growing the way it's meant to. It's grown sideways and really lush, but no flowers.
Yep.
Oh, I can see something happening now. But I just wondered, the bottom leaves of the one that's got the flowers, they're starting to turn a little bit yellow.
That's all right. Now, I've got a picture of a Sturt Desert Pea from your husband, actually. It's magnificent.
So beautiful.
Now, remember that all the Sturt Desert Peas are grown from seed, so you will get natural variation in that. The thing, have you got them in a potting mix?
It's one that he made up himself with potting mix, some of your stuff that
yep.
you know.
Yep.
Bentonite, charcoal.
Wow.
And he mixes it all up. Yeah, it's very,
yep.
and I said to him, I said, you're going to spoil these. You're going to kill
yeah.
them with kindness.
Yeah.
He wants to put rock dust on them now. And I said, oh,
no, no. Too much.
Yeah.
So ease off, young man. So the variation is normal. They also are really susceptible to rotting, which is why you've been told to just dry them out in between
yeah.
waterings. But on yeah. a 38 to 42 degree day, you can actually give them a bit of water
yeah.
because
yeah.
these are, you know, they've been raised in a nursery where they would get more water than what they normally would in their natural environment. So it's okay.
Yeah.
You just don't drown them in it. You just give them sort of a bit of water once it's above 38 degrees.
Yeah.
You will find that they will all vary when they flower, and the flower
yeah.
can also be varied in colour. So I would carry on doing what you're doing. Cut those lower leaves off.
Right.
Don't put anything else on them. They don't require anything else.
No.
Sometimes it's a good idea just to put a bit of yellow sand because like a bricky sand, but just a very small amount in with
okay.
the potting mix. So
right.
I would err on the side of caution and getting your husband out of the garden shed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's listening, apparently. What's his name?
He's not. He went off to work.
Oh, did he?
yeah.
Good on him.
He's got two names, actually.
Oh, has he? Ah, pseudo.
Your name is Herb.
Oh, Herb.
I love Herb.
Yes.
Herb from Hovia.
Yes. But when he comes down to see me, he's Carl in Byford.
Beautiful.
Well, the secret life of Herb comes out now.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thanks,
Eileen.
Have
a lovely weekend. So men who prune too much is going off a little bit. Daniel says all of these men gardening stereotypes would almost be offensive if they weren't 100% true. You're describing me perfectly. Thank you, Daniel. And Darren of Nearabup says ultimate punishment for men who over prune to spend a whole day in a nail salon. Listening to the ladies. I mean, it's my idea. They actually hurt you. I've only had my nails done a couple of times and I was yipping like, because she's snipping bits of actual toe off.
Oh.
And I thought, geez, I got a really bad one. But that's just part of the deal. This is what women put themselves
through.
I've
never, ever done. I hate anyone touching my feet.
Do you have a group for husbands that prune too much? This is where they need to text, says Maurice in Mandra. And I think that if they're willing to share the numbers with each other, they can start a group called Pruners Anonymous.
You know what we could do with men who prune too much is we could actually get them pruned. They could have a wax crack and sack or whatever it's called. And a really bad haircut, like one of those Viking haircuts.
So it's not go to the nail salon, it's go to the nail salon to have your toes done. I think that's a great idea. Also, we have frond of the day.
Oh, we do have. Fronds of the day.
Says 55-year-old garden gal, non-smoking, whiskey sipping, hammock loving, veggie growing garden diva seeking Busselton dude.
Oh.
Proudly cultivating loofah so I'm able to keep it clean on all but, all but naked gardening day. P.S. Extra credit if you can spot me at the gym. Nice. Currently able to bench press 20 kilograms of chicken feed bags. Hooray for that.
I think that's a hot take.
Front of the day.
Certainly is. That, well done. Yeah, and well 20 done, kilo yeah. bag of chicken poo. I reckon that's pretty good.
Any men who prune too much interested, we can Venn diagram the group. Graham is in Guelup. Hello, Graham.
Oh, yeah, hello. Sounds like I should settle you girls down.
Oh, come on now,
Graham. Someone needs to.
All I was asking about, I've got a rock melon's flowering very, very well, plenty of bees,
yep.
but very little fruit. Any tips of how to get more of the flowers to fruit?
You want a bit of hanky-panky with the boys and the girls, Graham. So you have to make sure that you've got a lot of girl flowers and just a few men, just a few boy flowers. Okay, so you need more girl flowers and boy flowers.
Great.
So the male flower, you can actually pokey-pokey him in the girl flower. Do three girls.
Yep.
They're up to that. And that's how you will get fruit. Now, what's important is that if your retic comes on in the morning, the pollen can be wet. So turn your sprinklers off until you hokey pokey. Yeah. Wait for that to dry, takes about an hour, and then put your retic on. Or make sure that the retic's been on and all the pollen is nice and dry before you hokey pokey.
Thank you. Well done.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Graham. Thanks, Graham.
Thank you, Graham. Very good attempt at sobering us up. I mean, not that anyone's been drinking in here, but I have the sillies. As soon as she walks in the door. Sharon in Menorah says, about 20-plus years ago, my husband did some pruning, and I still refer to the incident as Camellia Gate. And another person, please pop your name on so we can shout you out, says, I call men given pruning implements horticultural vandals. It's true, Lorna.
It is true.
Lorna, do you know a man who prunes too much?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's good. That's a blessing.
No.
That's a blessing.
No. Don't let them near your garden is our advice. I won't. What can we do for you this morning?
Oh, look, I've got an ant nest at the base of my orange tree. They're not climbing the tree. Mm-hmm. I just want to get rid of them, and I just wondered what's a safe thing that I can do to deter the ants off.
Yep. Okay, so because you've got an edible fruit tree, you don't want to use anything nasty. Now, what ants hate is their nests and their trails getting filled with water.
Oh, okay.
So what you need to do is get a wetting agent. Put that on, and then you are going to absolutely saturate that area.
Okay.
I would also dig in a little bit of clay if you can, or just some yellow sand so it goes down their little holes. And every day go out with the hose and just saturate that area, and they'll bugger off somewhere else because they don't.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, they don't like their holes. Now, the only other thing that would cause that is if they're, I presume they're black ants.
Yes, they are, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Is if there are termites around and they're after the eggs of the termites. But you would know if you've got termites because you'll see their little trail.
Yes, no, I don't think I've got termites.
Yeah.
I just have these little black ants and I want to get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. So drowning their trails is the way to go.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, super. Thanks, Sabrina.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you, Lorna. Simon is in Greenmount. Hello, Simon.
Good morning, Sabrina. I must confess to pruning too much and paying the ultimate price. So I'm currently in therapy.
See, it's people know. I mean, it was many, many years ago when Andrew Cox pruned the lemon tree. And when I say pruned, he cut the top of it off and it died subsequently. And I went around work asking fellas if they'd been through anything like this. And without exception, the men dropped their heads in shame. And so it was a common thing. And beautiful Matt Price, a journalist who died when he was 46, 2007, was such a brilliant guy. His wife, Sue, the loveliest woman in the world, did not speak to him for 3 weeks after he killed bougainvillea. Simon, I'm sorry, I've derailed again. Let's get back to you, sir.
What the ABC should bring out, because we've brought out bum bags for people like me that climb ladders and stuff and to put their secretaires and their phone in. We should have a pruning kit for men who prune too much.
It's got a safety guard on the secretaires. You get your wife to unlock it.
Yes.
Yes.
A little code. And then the pruners that you can use will be a little pair of nail scissors. And you can spend hours, just one leaf at a time, just enjoying yourself.
Officially delighted at this point. Simon, should we get back to you?
Well, my question was, I heard Sabrina talking about the grapes this morning and powdery mildew, and yep. I was wondering if hibiscus can suffer the same. I've got a bush and the buds, they're only the size of a grape, but they just want to fall off. And some of them, when I pull them apart, they're all sort of mushy inside, and I'm wondering what's going on.
Can be a fungal disease. Now, there's also a thing called the hibiscus beetle. And what it does is it actually nips just with the stalk that holds the flower on, it actually cuts that off. So all your buds fall before they open out. So you can use, if it's a beetle, then you can use a neem oil-based spray. If it's a fungal issue, you can use a mancozeb-based spray.
Mancozeb?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
As in what you would think would be manky, but it's manco, M-A-N-C-O-Z-E-B.
Mancozeb.
Yep.
Right, thank you. And just one quick question. I've got a lot of grass trees in my property. They're all about sort of head height.
Yeah.
Can I feed them with something? I wanted to put some mulch around the bottom just to kind of keep them all healthy.
Yeah.
What's the best to feed them with? Any just groganic type of stuff?
No, I wouldn't do that. I think the mulch around the base is great. The only thing I would give them would be a wetting agent and some soil microbes and a bit of liquid seaweed, but I wouldn't be fertilising them.
Okay.
Yep. But no fertiliser.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you very much for your help.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Simon.
Kelly's in Cottesloe. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you, Sabrina?
Oh, good. Amber's really good too. In fact, she's very well.
Amber's great.
We merge into one person,
don't we? We do.
Yes.
What's your question for Sab, Kelly?
So I've been meaning to call. I've got some cuttings from a mulberry tree that I actually planted 30 years ago down south in Denmark.
Wow.
That had my daughter's placenta under it.
Oh, yeah.
So we sold the property, and I just did not want to leave without taking something of this tree.
No.
So it's been sitting, three of them have been sitting in a recycling tub.
Yeah.
And one of them has sprouted leaves, but no roots.
Okay, well, that's all right.
Should I put it in some rooting powder?
I wouldn't be lifting. So how long has it been in the pot for?
About 2 weeks.
I would be very cautious about
sitting. Its bottom is just sitting in water getting sprayed.
Okay. All right. Then in that case, definitely, so you'll need to make sure, get a paper towel and dry the base of it first. Dip it in hormone gel for hardwood, I presume you took a hardwood cutting. or is it a soft? Yep. So
it's hard.
Okay, so get the hormone gel for hardwood cuttings. Dip
can
it
I use
in
the
that. Yes, you can. Yeah, absolutely. If you've got the powder, you can use the powder. And then repot it. Now, if you put it in just potting mix, I would actually buy propagation mix for this one, Kelly, because it's a special plant for you and you don't want it to not take off. So go and get a bag of propagation mix. Dip it in the hormone gel. Don't use any fertilizer, but you can drench the soil with half-strength liquid seaweed.
Okay.
And put a covering over the top so you keep up the humidity. So you cut, most people just get a soft drink bottle, they cut the top off and make it like a little mini glass house.
Yeah, it's like 6 inches long. That's okay,
yeah,
I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just realized it's not a mulberry, it's a plum.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was looking at my mulberry tree.
That's all right, Kelly, because it's you're still in the, you know, it's still a fruit tree, so you're pretty close. Do exactly the same thing. It's okay, Kelly.
You are in the most welcome of spaces to do that.
Absolutely.
I'm so dyslexic.
No, it's fine. Look,
I
forget the kids' names and end up calling them the dogs' names. So it's all good here, Kelly. You're among friends.
Okay.
Kelly, good luck with that.
Thank you. Can I? I have one question. I put a mulberry tree in last year. And
are you sure?
It's supposed to be a dwarf. Yes. I am looking at it. I even went out and got silkworms. I'm so crazy. I ended up with one, and it's in its cocoon right now.
Oh, right. It'll be a lonely little butterfly.
It better know my name because I've been looking after it.
Okay. So it's dwarf, yes?
It's dwarf, and I'm trying to cut it so it stays low.
Okay.
I know now is not the time.
Well, yeah, in actual fact, it is. So
it is. I can cut the top.
If you want to reduce the growth, you prune in summer. If you want to encourage growth, you do it in winter. So cut it now because this week is going to be cool. It's a good time to do it.
It seems like it's struggling. It's very straggly. So
yeah, off with its head, Kelly.
Off with it. Okay, Sabrina and Amanda, thank you for your patience and your kindness and your knowledge.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you, Kelly. Bye-bye. There's a lot of pruners coming out of the woodwork, and they're all ashamed. Grandad in Duncraig says, I have a morbid fear of pruning ever since I took out the bougainvillea. And Pete in Murdoch says, my high biscuits became low biscuits and eventually no biscuits. There's some more. It's going up. What? Another person says, what about husbands that spray too much?
Oh, yeah.
I will now keep all receipts to show him just how much money he has wasted. He may just stop spraying in my garden. Had all my citrus, figs, mulberries in early autumn were getting well-rooted, and he sprayed. When I said, don't, I would pull them out by hand, and now I just have one sad-looking lemon.
This is true.
I'd like to put that to music.
Yeah. I think we've got a couple of categories going on here. And the whole spray thing, because when I do country consults, I can pick a mile away when something's had glyphosate.
Okay.
That's drifted towards the rose bed.
Okay.
And they deny. They keep denying.
Do they? All right, I see. No, it wasn't me.
I never went down that paddock.
It wasn't me. All right, Annabelle is in Woodnilling. Hello, Annabelle.
Oh, good morning.
Morning, Annabelle.
What's going on with your fig tree?
Well, can I just say I don't have a problem with over pruning or spraying because I don't have a husband.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, you know, there are benefits.
You're in
to
easy
that.
Street. Easy street.
Exactly. Look, I've got a very old, gnarly fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 70 years old, and it's never really produced any fruit for the last 10 years at least, and yet there's a similar fig tree of a similar age, some 300 metres away, on the edge of the railway line in Woodnilling, and it's got heaps of beautiful fruit on it, and it doesn't get watered, but mine gets watered. I haven't fertilised it.
Yep.
But I'm just wondering, why is that one on the railway line producing such good fruit when it doesn't even get any water and mine's sort of getting regular water and it's not doing anything?
Because that could be a seed-grown one. They both could be a seed-grown one. Some figs require cross-pollination, which some of the older figs in particular. But if it's seed-grown, then you do not know what you're going to get. So it could be that the one on the railway line is either getting pollinators or it's one that does not require cross-pollination.
So should I get another fig and plant it next to my fig?
You can, yeah, absolutely. Or you go and get a cutting from the fig that's fruiting like a demon and grow that. And you grow it from a cutting. Okay.
Oh, so, right, so you can put it in that root powder and then just or graft it onto this one?
Yeah, you can definitely graft it.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So either or, I would be doing that.
Good luck, Annabelle.
And fertilise it?
Yep, fertilise it in spring. Okay. Yep.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Beautiful.
1-300-222-720 is the number you need to get this woman in your ears for free. It's a free service.
It is.
You're very lucky.
Costs you 8 cents a day.
Sally is in Sorrento. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hello, Sally. Sorry. Amber.
Amanda.
Or Amanda.
I answer to both.
She does.
Yeah.
Or Sandra or Barbara, as the case may be. Anything will do. What's going on with your Avo tree, Sally?
Well, we were gifted two trees over the Christmas period. So they're both about 2 metres tall. We have an avocado and a poinciana tree.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty lucky. So we're wondering when they're happy at the moment in pots.
Yep.
We're wondering when will be the best time to plant them.
Yep.
And what to do with the soil, etc., to
in
make
Sorrento.
Them happy. Yes.
Okay.
Sandy
so,
Sorrento.
How tall is your poinciana at the moment?
It's about 2 metres.
Okay. So the best time to plant that is summer. They love the heat. Absolutely love it. Now, poinciana tree is a tropical tree, usually grows in really nice soil, not Sorrento sand. So you will need to get compost, some clay, some slow-release fertilizer and some microbes, some soil microbes, and mix all that up together into your gutless sand. Clay is the thing for you that will fill up all those little air pockets in between the sand particles. Dig the hole twice the depth and twice the width. This goes for the Avo tree as well. Twice the width of the pot. Make sure that it's in that it has a little like a basin that it goes into, so the water is generated down into the root system. Wetting agent again after you've done all the planting, then mulch it. Now poincianas love humidity, so I would be putting a 5 centimeter thick mulch on top. And you will need to water it every day during this first summer, hand water. Because this is their rapid growing time. The avocado tree, do not plant it out until the end of March. Same thing, a bit less clay probably than what the poinciana is getting, but all the same brew. And then you can drench both of those with a liquid seaweed solution when you've planted them.
Okay. So we mix all that up.
In a wheelbarrow, and that becomes your planting mix. Yep.
Sure. And the clay, you just get that from?
You just buy it in a bag or a bucket.
A bag or a bucket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or just so move to another country where the clay is better.
I know. It sounds pretty. Now, anyway, my husband hopefully is listening on the other line.
Oh, good.
He's going to have to do the work.
He's doing the hole digging.
Good man.
He'll be doing the digging.
Make sure your Avo tree is away from salt-laden, hot easterly winds.
Right.
Avocados actually require a bit of afternoon shade.
Good luck with that, Sally.
Yeah, thanks for that, ladies.
Okie dokie.
We'll get to it.
Okay, thanks, Sally.
Cheers. Our friend Bye. Sue Layton suggests a name for the men who spray too much.
Oh, yeah.
The Drift Club. And she says if the other half keeps spraying, he could become a microbe. She's going to put him in the blender. Is that what she means, in the mulcher?
Yes, he might go through the old mulcher.
Yeah, he might be pushing up some daisies.
A man of many microbes.
Lorraine is in Balga. Hello, and she has a mulberry. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. Yes, we have a 10-foot-high mulberry, and, it's just ridiculous, really. But so how much can we chop off it?
It's a mulberry tree, Lorraine.
Yes.
When I say that, it can be hard pruned, not blokey hard pruned, okay? So there's degrees of pruning, and blokes just only go from sort of 60 to 100%. There's nothing below 60. So you could definitely take 40% off.
Okay. Can we prune it again in winter, because it's just gets too big and we can't get to the fruit?
Okay, so if we're not going to get a heat wave, you can prune in summer, all right? But no more than a third in summer. And then in winter, you can go 40%.
Okay, 30% next week and 40% in the...
Yeah, in during in winter.
Winter.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Have a great day. Bye.
Got a couple of lines open, 1-300-222-720, if you would like to chat to Sabrina. Now, when is the best time to put my almond and pomegranate trees, which are currently in pots, into the ground, live on a coastal plain?
Okay, I would leave both of those trees. So you want to do them before dormancy. You don't want to put them in mid-summer, so I would wait until the end of March, and I would plant both of them at the end of March.
Beautiful. And I've got some photos of a citrus.
Yeah, it looks like a...
It's a blood orange.
Yeah.
And she's got some critters on it.
Oh, it's got a little hole in its bum.
Critter on the bottom, on the body.
Okay, so that scale, that soft-bodied scale. So you can spray this week... only when it's cooler, you can spray with a potassium soap spray, and then you will need to do it again in a couple of weeks' time. So all of the citrus is susceptible to soft-bodied scale, but you need to get onto it straight away because they have hundreds of babies. So, yep.
There you go. We have Lynn in Success. Hello, Lynn.
Oh, hi. Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Amanda. The reason I'm calling is because of my lawn. It's really suffering in this heat.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It's either the heat or maybe the lawnmower man is cutting it too short.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I keep watering it, hand watering it as often as I can.
Yeah.
But then one patch after another gets very, very dry. First of all, it goes this funny, funny green colour, like a sagey type green, and the leaves go a bit funny, and then all of a sudden it just goes yuck and dies.
Yeah.
And I continue to hand water and it comes good, and then the same thing happens again.
Again. Have you used a wetting agent?
I have, and I've checked that it's going in by flooding an area and seeing how much
that
it goes
in. That it's soaking in?
Yeah, it's going in straight away, and we fertilised it a couple of weeks ago just lightly.
Yep.
So I just don't know what's going on,
okay.
If it is water or what.
Well, it sounds to me like water. I would get now you can buy a product that will revive your lawn. You buy it in a bag and you spread it on top, and it's got compost and all sorts of goodies in it. So get a couple of bags of that, and then what I would do is then apply a wetting agent again once you've spread that on that area of lawn and water it in well. Then drench the soil with a juice that will make it go fast. And the combination of those things will be really, will bring it back to life.
When she says go fast, she's giving you a clue about the name.
That's why I had a little giggle. I thought it was.
You got it. I have no idea what she means.
With the product that I've spread on the lawn, that must come in a bag.
Yes.
And does that comes from a certain big green?
Yep, you can get it there, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's then a wetting agent.
Yep, yep.
And then the go-go juice.
Yep, yep, right. Yep.
Do I do one after the other on the same day?
Yeah, or you do it, or you do it all. No, you can do it all the same day.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good.
So I'd be doing it while it's nice and cool is the job.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thanks, Lynn.
So much for taking my call, guys. Bye.
No worries. Lynn. Bye.
Warren is in Mandurah. Good morning, Woz.
Hey, Mel.
Yeah. Good, Woz. Good.
That's good.
Yeah.
my question is that go-go juice you're talking about, or human act. Acid, whatever
no,
it is.
No, hopefully it's not human acid. Humic acid, yeah.
That's the one, love. Yeah. Where do I buy that from, or where can I get just any...
Well, I can't mention product names. I can only give hints. But the thing I can tell you is what I've mentioned you can get from hardware stores, you can get from your local nurseries.
Gotcha. Okay,
yep.
Good.
Everywhere.
All right, and it works on all plants, mango trees, a whole lot?
Everything. You can put it on everything, including natives.
Why have I found out this so late in life?
Ah, Warren, because you just didn't ring me up before.
There you go, Woz.
I always listen to you. Thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, Warren.
See ya.
ABC Radio, emergency information.
Asha is in the studio. What can you tell us?
I can tell you some current information on two fires of concern around the state. Since conditions are improving and there have been no new information for quite a while, there won't be any more radio updates unless that situation changes significantly.
Thank you, Asha. Sabrina's back. Let's see if we can squeeze it.
It's a trick. Oh, no, trick for you. Oh, damaging property.
Equipment.
Oh, dear.
That was very funny. It's usually I have consistently got my feet caught in headphone wires. Sitting opposite Brad McCann, I stood up one day and my feet were tangled up and I spun around and hit the deck like a sack of potatoes.
Oh.
Brad took an hour to stop laughing.
Clearly worried about Asha. Your welfare. It's
so
all right.
That's pretty much what just happened then, except she didn't quite make it to the ground 100%. It was pretty funny. Sorry, darling, for laughing at you.
Amanda, I don't know. Have we got any more time left?
Oh, we have. We have one minute and 20 seconds.
Okay.
This is nice. Melissa just wanted to share some joy of her first time flowering 32-year-old ponytails.
Wow.
I have four and two are on show. I grew them from tube stock and they have only been repotted twice, having only ever lived in pots. Thanks for a great morning show. That's very kind of you. I'm just like dragging the – is this them? That looks like them.
Oh, wow. So it's lemon trousers. Look at its big fat bottom.
Oh, it's so nice.
Isn't it beautiful? And the flower is absolutely gorgeous, Amanda.
That is my name. Mm. Many people get it wrong. That's okay. Barbara,
right.
Sandra, Amber, whatever. Tomato,
you
can call me.
Yeah.
There we go.
Everyone's got pictures of all the scales on their things.
We will be back next weekend with the Munting scale, the Roots and Shoots, what's it called? Trademarked, copyrighted scale of Munting.
Yes.
Fronds with benefits, men who prune too much. Roots and Shoots with Amber and Amanda.
Amanda and Sabrina.
Sabrina Hahn. Mm. See you next week.
Bye.
It's 10. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.